Chapter 14. The Children of Israel. Joseph listened carefully to what his father Jacob taught him about God. Joseph loved the Lord. He followed his father's teachings more carefully than his brothers. He loved to do what God wanted him to do. The wrong things Joseph's brothers did made him sad. He humbly urged them to give up their wicked ways and do what was right. But this made them angry, and they turned against Joseph. Joseph hated sin so much he felt hurt when his brothers sinned against God. Joseph told his father what his brothers were doing, hoping Jacob could make them change their ways. But Joseph's brothers became angry because he told their father what they were doing. They had noticed how much Jacob loved Joseph, and they became jealous. Their jealousy turned into hate. And finally, they planned to kill Joseph. The angel of God gave Joseph two dreams. Joseph innocently told his brothers about the dreams. "We were all in the field tying up sheaves of wheat," he said, "when my sheaf got up and stood up straight. Yours formed a circle around mine and bowed down to it. Do you think you are going to be a king and rule over us?" Joseph's brothers asked. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of what he said about them. Then Joseph had another dream and told his brothers. "I had another dream in which I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." He also told the dream to his father, and his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that? Do you think that your mother, your brothers, and I are going to come and bow down to you?" Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept thinking about the whole matter. Genesis 37, verse 7 to 11. Joseph in Egypt. Joseph's brothers planned to kill him, but instead, they decided to sell him as a slave to some Ishmaelites who were traveling together to Egypt. They thought if they sold Joseph, Joseph would never become greater than themselves. They thought they had put Joseph where they never would be bothered by his dreams again. The brothers also thought selling Joseph would keep his dreams from coming true. But God used their wicked act of selling Joseph into slavery to do what they did not want, Joseph becoming a ruler over them. God did not let Joseph go into Egypt alone. Angels prepared the way for him to be received in the right place. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites. God was with Joseph and blessed him. Potiphar was pleased with Joseph and trusted Joseph so much he turned over everything he had to the care of Joseph and did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Genesis 39, verse 6. The Egyptians did not like the idea of having a Hebrew prepare food for them. When Joseph was tempted to disobey the law of God and to sin against his master, he firmly refused to disobey God. Joseph showed proof of his love for God in the way he answered Potiphar's wife. After telling her about the great trust Potiphar had given him, Joseph said, "How then could I do such an immoral thing and sin against God?" Genesis 39, verse 9. Joseph could not be influenced either by threats or by promised rewards to do wrong and disobey God's laws. When Joseph was falsely accused of a terrible crime, he did not get discouraged. He knew he was innocent and had done what was right, so he trusted God to take care of the matter. God had always supported Joseph and continued to support him. Joseph was bound in chains and kept in a dark, gloomy prison. But God changed this awful experience into a blessing. God gave Joseph favor with the keeper of the prison. Soon, Joseph was responsible for all the prisoners. In Joseph's experience, we find an example for all who will ever live on the earth. People face temptations, but God always is ready to keep people from sinning. If people sin, that is their own fault. God will help, and the Holy Spirit also will protect them. When the strongest temptations come to God's people, they have a source of strength. God's people can ask God to keep them from sinning. Joseph met a very fierce temptation. The temptation came from a well-known person who had great influence, so the temptation could have led to sin. But Joseph quickly and firmly refused to yield to temptation. He had to suffer as a result of not being willing to sin. Potiphar's wife accused him of doing the very thing he refused to do, and then she used her influence to have Joseph put in prison.
Joseph had put his reputation and his life in the hands of God. The Lord allowed him to suffer and be treated unjustly for a while, to prepare him for an important position. But God kept Joseph's good reputation from being destroyed by an evil woman's lies. In God's own time, Joseph's character was seen to be pure. God used Joseph's experience in prison to bring great honor to Joseph. In time, goodness brings its own reward. Love for God was Joseph's protection. Love caused him to be faithful to his master and to be true to God. When Joseph was honored as a ruler over all the land, he did not forget God. He felt sad because he was a stranger in a strange land, separated from his father and his brothers. But he believed firmly that God was in charge of his life and had put him in an important position. Joseph depended fully on God and did his duty faithfully as a ruler of Egypt. Joseph walked with God. No promise of reward or threat could make him leave the path of righteousness and disobey God's law. His example of loyalty to God, self-control, and patience during times of trouble is described in the Bible for our benefit. When Joseph's brothers finally admitted to him they had sinned against him, Joseph forgave them freely. His acts of love and mercy showed he did not keep hard feelings toward his brothers because of the cruel way they had treated him. Days of Plenty. The children of Israel were not slaves. They had not sold themselves, their cattle, nor their lands to Pharaoh for food, as had many of the Egyptians. Pharaoh gave the children of Israel land where they could live with their flocks and cattle. Because of Joseph's great service to Egypt, Pharaoh was thankful for the wise way Joseph had taken care of everything connected with the kingdom. Pharaoh especially was pleased with the preparations Joseph had made for the long years of famine that came on Egypt. The king felt all Egypt owed Joseph thanks for the wealth that came from his wise management. To show his thankfulness, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Now that your father and your brothers have arrived, the land of Egypt is theirs. Let them settle in the region of Goshen, the best part of the land. And if there are any capable men among them, let them be in charge of my own livestock." Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt, giving them property in the best of the land near the city of Ramses, as the king had commanded. Joseph provided food for his father, his brothers, and all the rest of his father's family, including the very youngest. Genesis 45, verse 5, 6, 11, 12. Joseph's father and brothers did not have to pay taxes to the king, and Joseph was allowed to give them plenty of food. The king said to his rulers, "We are in debt to both Joseph and his God for our great supply of food. Because of Joseph's great wisdom, we stored up plenty of grain. People in other lands are dying, but we have enough food. What Joseph has done has enriched our kingdom greatly." Many years later, Joseph, his brothers, and all the rest of that generation died. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and became so numerous and strong that Egypt was filled with them. Then a new king,
who knew nothing about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, "These Israelites are so numerous and strong that they are a threat to us. If a war starts, they might join our enemies to fight against us and might escape from this country." Exodus 1, verse 6 to 10. Slavery. The new king of Egypt learned that the children of Israel were very important to his kingdom. Many of the Israelites were wise and skillful workmen. The king did not want to lose their skills and good work, so the king put the Israelites in the same class with the slaves who had sold their animals, their lands, and themselves to the kingdom. The Egyptians treated the Israelites as slaves. The Egyptians put supervisors over the Israelites to crush their spirits and make them work. The Israelites built the cities of Pithom and Ramses to serve as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites, the more they increased in number and the farther they spread through the land. The Egyptians came to fear the Israelites and made their lives miserable by forcing them into cruel slavery. They made them work on their building projects and in their fields, and they had no pity on them. Exodus 1, verse 11 to 14. The Egyptians also made the Israelite women work in the fields as though they were slaves. But the numbers of Israelites increased. When the king and his rulers saw the Israelites continued to increase, they demanded that the Israelites finish a certain amount of work each day. The Egyptians thought they could reduce the number of Israelites by making them work hard. But the Egyptians became angry when the Israelites continued to increase in number and maintained an independent spirit.
The Egyptians' plan did not work, so they decided to be more cruel. The king commanded that all Israelite boy babies should be killed as soon as they were born. Satan was behind this plan. He knew a deliverer was to be born among the Israelites to rescue them from slavery. Satan thought if he could get the king to destroy the male children, God's purpose would be defeated. The women who helped the Israelite women give birth to their babies feared God. They did not dare kill the boy babies as the king had ordered. Because the women did not obey the king and kill the babies, the Lord blessed them. When the king was told that his command was not being obeyed, he became very angry. He then commanded that all his people watch closely and take every newborn Hebrew boy and throw him into the Nile, but let all the girls live. Exodus 1, verse 22. Moses. Moses was born during the time this cruel law was in force. His mother hid him as long as she could. Then she made a little basket from the tall, strong grass that grew by the river and sealed the basket with pitch so water could not get into the basket. She put the baby in the basket and put the basket in the water near the edge of the river. Moses' sister stayed nearby, but pretended not to see the basket. But she watched anxiously to see what would happen to her little brother. Angels also were watching. They would not allow anything to hurt the baby. Moses' loving mother prayed earnestly, with tears, that God would care for him. The angels guided Pharaoh's daughter to a place by the river near the spot where the baby lay. The princess noticed the small basket and sent one of her maids to bring the basket to her. When she lifted the cover of the little basket boat, she saw a lovely baby inside. When the baby began to cry, Pharaoh's daughter felt pity for him. She knew an Israelite mother had prepared this little basket boat to save the life of the baby she loved so much. The princess decided immediately that this baby should be her son. Moses' sister immediately came forward and asked, "Shall I go and call a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you?" "Please do," Pharaoh's daughter answered. Exodus 2, verse 7-8. Joyfully, the baby's sister ran to her mother to tell her the exciting news. She quickly led her mother to Pharaoh's daughter. The baby was given to the mother to care for and nurse. She was paid generously for bringing up her own son. With thanks to God, the mother began her now safe and happy work of caring for baby Moses. She faithfully taught her little son how to live a useful life. She was more careful in training Moses than she had been with her other children, because she knew God wanted him to do a great work. Through her faithful teachings, she put in Moses' young mind love for God, for truth, and for justice. In addition, she prayed that God would keep her son from every evil influence. She taught him to kneel and pray to the living God. God alone would be able to hear and help Moses in times of great need. She also taught Moses the sinfulness of idolatry. Moses' mother knew that soon he would be separated from her influence. His adopted royal mother would put him where he would be influenced not to believe in the true God, the creator of heaven and earth. The teachings Moses received from his parents were designed to strengthen his mind and keep him from becoming proud and sinful when he would be surrounded by the beauty and riches of life in his Egyptian home. Moses had a clear mind and an understanding heart. He never forgot the godly teachings he received in his youth. His mother kept him as long as she could. When Moses was almost 12 years old, she had to give him up to become the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Satan was defeated in his attempt to keep Israel from having a deliverer. When Satan led Pharaoh to have the boy babies killed, he thought he could kill the one child whom God was going to use to deliver Israel. That way, Satan could keep God from finishing his plan. But God used the law that commanded people to kill Israelite boys to place Moses in the royal family. In the palace, Moses had the opportunity to become well-educated and well-qualified to lead his people out of Egypt. Pharaoh expected to place his adopted grandson on the throne. He trained Moses to lead the armies of Egypt into battle. Moses was a great favorite with the Egyptian army because he showed great skill and wisdom in time of war. He was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and became a great man in words and deeds. Acts 7, verse 22. To the Egyptians, Moses was a great and special man. Preparation for leadership. Angels taught Moses that God had chosen him to deliver the children of Israel. They also told the leaders of the Israelites it was almost time for them to be delivered. The angels said God would use Moses to deliver Israel from slavery. Moses thought the Israelites would be delivered by a war against the Egyptians. He thought he would lead an Israelite army that would break the chains of Egyptian slavery. Because Moses believed this, he was careful not to let his love for his adopted mother or for Pharaoh become too strong. He wanted to be free to do the will of God. The Lord kept Moses from being harmed by the evil influences around him. Moses never forgot the truths he had been taught by his God-fearing parents. When he most needed to be shielded from the evils of royal life, he remembered the lessons learned in his youth. Moses loved and respected God and had a strong love for his own people, the Israelites. His respect for the Hebrew faith was strong. He would not hide the fact he was an Israelite in exchange for the honor of being an heir of Egypt's royal family. One day, when Moses was 40 years old, he went out to see how his people were doing. He saw they were working hard as slaves. He also saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. Moses looked all around, and when he saw that no one was watching, he killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. The next day he went back and saw two Hebrew men fighting. He said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why are you beating up a fellow Hebrew?" The man answered, "Who made you our ruler and judge? Are you going to kill me just as you killed that Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said to himself, "People have found out what I have done." When the king heard about what had happened, he tried to have Moses killed. But Moses fled and went to live in the land of Midian. Exodus 2, verse 12 to 15. The Lord led Moses to find a home with Jethro, a man who worshipped God. Jethro was both a shepherd and a priest of Midian. His daughters cared for his sheep. Soon, Moses took over the care of the sheep. Moses married Jethro's daughter and stayed in Midian 40 years. Moses had been too fast in killing the Egyptian. He thought the Israelites understood that God had raised him up to deliver them. But God did not plan to deliver Israel by war, as Moses had thought. Instead, God planned to deliver Israel by his own great power. Then the glory would be given to him alone. God overruled Moses' act in killing the Egyptian. The Lord had put Moses in the royal family of Egypt, where he received the highest education. But Moses was not ready to do the great work of delivering Israel that God had raised him up to do. As the king's grandson in the house of Egypt, Moses' every wish was satisfied. So he was not ready to perform the special work God had for him to do. Moses must have time to obtain experience and to be educated in God's school of difficulties and poverty. While Moses took care of Jethro's sheep, the Lord sent angels to give him special understanding about the future. As he took care of the sheep, Moses learned lessons of self-control and humility. God was preparing the shepherd of Midian to become the spiritual shepherd of his people, the Israelites. As Moses led the sheep into the desert, he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame coming from the middle of a bush. Exodus 3, verse 2. Then the Lord said, "I have seen how cruelly my people are being treated in Egypt. I have heard them cry out to be rescued from their slave supervisors. I know all about their sufferings, and so I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of Egypt to a fertile and spacious land. I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of his country." Exodus 3, verse 7 to 10. At last, the time had come for Moses to exchange his shepherd's rod for the rod of God. God would use Moses' rod in a powerful way to perform signs and wonders, to deliver his people from slavery, and to keep them from being harmed by their enemies. Moses agreed to do this work. He first visited his father-in-law Jethro to get permission to take his family back to Egypt. Moses did not tell Jethro the message God had given him for the king. Moses was afraid Jethro would not be willing to let his daughter and grandchildren go with Moses on a trip that would be so dangerous. The Lord strengthened Moses and took away his fears by telling him, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." Exodus 4, verse 19.